Hi, I'm Georgie Frost, financial broadcaster, and I'm joined in the studio by Martin Ellis from the Halifax. And this morning we've been discussing with a number of radio stations across the country the latest Halifax generation rent findings that show people aged between 18 and 34 reckon it's harder than ever to get on the property ladder. They claim they will always rent and never buy. Now, a high percentage reckon they'd even emigrate from the UK to afford buying. Is that right, Martin?
Well, that's certainly right in terms of what we've been discussing today and in terms of the results of the survey. It's maybe a bit startling, but we've got almost one in five young people saying, I'll be prepared to leave the UK if that means I can buy my own home. And another interesting finding which came out of the survey, we've got one in four 18 to 34-year-olds saying, I'm never going to be able to afford somewhere unless I get inherited money.
Yeah, that really stood out for me.
It did for me as well, and that's not a great sort of testimony to where we are in terms of the housing market if we've got a lot of young people saying the only way I can do it is when sort of my mum and dad sort of pass on and leave me enough money to be able to afford my own home.
We did talk about lots of options with the Bank of Mum and Dad while they're still alive, I should point out. We will be discussing those in a little bit more detail, but regionally, because we obviously spoke to a lot of different radio stations, Derbyshire, Aylesbury, the North East, the North West, South. What are the sort of general trends in those areas that we're seeing? How are they responding, perhaps, to some of the questions that were asked of them?
It's interesting because there are clearly regional differences, but there's a lot of sort of things which are in common right across the country. We're getting similar results in terms of it's typically between 8 or 9 out of every 10 sort of young people saying that there's simply a lack of affordable housing in my area. Now, that does vary. It's worse if you're looking at London and the South East, where clearly house prices are so very high. And earnings levels, although they're higher, they don't really reflect just how high house prices are. So there are some differences, and we find that in those more expensive areas, there's a higher proportion saying, I'm going to need inherited money, I'm going to need outside help, and you know, it's hopeless, I'll never be able to afford a home. But what I was struck by was how much commonality there is right across the country. Same sort of issues facing everybody. It doesn't matter where you are, just the degree does vary slightly.
It really is that pessimism that we're seeing, that the percentage of Brits who agree there's a lack of affordable housing, it is around the sort of 80-85% of people, regardless of where they are. So it's interesting, though, when you juxtapose the pessimism against perhaps the reality, when you think about some of the figures that we've seen recently. Borrowers took out mortgages totaling $18.9 billion in January, up from $18.6 billion a year ago, driven by demand from first-time buyers. And also, Halifax's first-time buyer review showed that the number of first-time buyers are up 75% from their record low of 2008. So how much of this perception is reality?
Yes, it does look as though there's some sort of disconnect. And we've seen over the last few years, and we've been doing this survey now annually for the last sort of 6 years, and we have seen things getting steadily worse, people getting more pessimistic. But as you say, if you actually look at the numbers of first-time buyers, they've been increasing. And that's the case. We've seen that big increase over the last few years. But still bear in mind that compared to 10 years ago, we're still well down in terms of number of first-time buyers. And I think there's been a period where numbers have been much lower than we would have expected. So there's actually still quite a large pool of young people not being able to afford their own homes. And this is clearly reflected if you look at the home ownership figures. Now, if you look at home ownership across the UK, that's now been falling since it reached a peak back in 2003, 2004, when it was over seven out of 10 people owned their own home. Now we're talking somewhere around 63%. But it's more pronounced if you look at the younger people, and if you look at people in younger age groups, a far smaller proportion now own their own homes. And those who do so get into the housing market, they're older than they used to be. They're better off insofar as they're paid more than they used to be on average. And more simply need financial assistance. They're relying on that financial assistance, Bank of Mum and Dad providing it.
I thought what was interesting when we spoke to Meridian FM, now they're based in Sussex and the surrounding areas, we were asked whether young people have their priorities right, this obsession with owning our own home. An Englishman is his castle, Englishwoman as well, I should point out. Why are we so obsessed with owning our own home? And financially speaking, is it a good idea, even?
It's a very interesting question. It seems to be sort of quite deeply lodged in sort of the national psyche, really. And we do seem to be quite obsessed with owning our own homes. And I suppose we had a long period going back to the First World War, really, when we had this long, steady increase in the proportion of people owning their own homes. That's accelerated during the 1980s, when the government was very keen for people who were in sort of public rented accommodation to buy their own homes. They always saw that as a good thing. And that's traditionally been the case. And I think if you look at surveys, the majority of young people still aspire to own their own home. It's very much there, something we like to do. It's possible that maybe we're breaking away from that a little bit and maybe going a bit more towards a sort of German-French model where they're less wedded to owning their own home and they're more prepared to sort of rent, or certainly rent for a long period before getting together the sort of amount of money and then buying their own home but not making as many moves, whereas we've traditionally bought young and then we're always sort of moving up the housing ladder as our circumstances change and doing it as soon as we can. Is that the right thing to do? Well, I don't think it's the right thing for everybody to do. There are some people who really home ownership, owner occupation isn't necessarily the right thing. If you're moving around a lot for your job, you probably don't want to be sort of wedded to just having a house in one particular part of the country. It's very expensive to move. That may not suit your circumstances. I think what we would like to see are sort of good options and good choices available across all types of housing tenure, so be it owning your own home or renting. What we want to see is that choice, genuine choice, whereby the standard of accommodation is going to be good and people can get into owner occupation if that's right for them.
I'm just wondering whether, in terms of renting, and we're looking at some of the figures, that perhaps first-time buyers are on average £651 better off a year buying than renting. Private renters are able to save less money as well, more likely to make forced cutbacks than those with a mortgage. So actually, it may be cheaper to buy than to rent. And it's interesting you talked about the models perhaps in Germany and elsewhere in the EU. I know that Bob at Folkestone at Academy FM was particularly interested in that. I don't know if it's the proximity to the continent, but I did wonder whether we have the right infrastructure, the right policy in place to support people in long-term renting. And until we do, we're still going to be obsessed with buying our own home. So naturally, a lot of people that we spoke to wanted some tips and advice about what they can do, because of course the deposit is the big stumbling block, I imagine, for many people. So what advice is there?
I think there's plenty of advice out there. If you look at sort of mortgage lender websites, for example, they've got a lot of calculators and tools available. You'll find it on our own, halifax.co.uk, where there's plenty of information available there for people who want to buy their first home. It'll give you a much clearer idea. How much can I borrow? What sort of deposit do I need? How much is it going to cost me each month? But also, very important, speak to your mortgage advisor, get an appointment, see what options are available. They'll have a very clear idea who's providing what, which lender should you go to. Obviously, we want you to go to Halifax, but that may not always be the best option. But also, do that. Look into various government schemes. There's plenty of information available on official websites, which will tell you how those all work. Look at Help to Buy ICE. Those will give you a great kickstart in terms of raising that deposit. And the government will give you a bit of a bonus for saving towards a house as well. So lots of things out there which will certainly help. So don't give up. Don't despair. Do lots of research.
And I'd also just say, take a really long, hard look at your finances. I know it sounds very simple and the obvious advice, but budget, draw up a budget, stick to it. Get your advice, as Martin said. Do your research, develop a thick skin and be prepared to make some sacrifices. This is not a walk in the park, but it is doable. Martin Ellis, thank you very much.
Thank you.